Happy Friday, everyone. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. Once again this week with me, your host, most of the time, but I've usually got a co-host and sometimes other people fill in and slip in, so we're kind of all sharing the duties here of meeting with you guys each week and saying hello, letting you know what's going on in the world of FDN, and hopefully answering some questions. We're an inquisitive bunch, I will say. Everybody has lots of questions, and no matter where you are in this journey, if it's from just looking at taking the course, or you're in training right now, or you've graduated, we all still have questions. And so we're really good about answering questions. I feel like as a community, we're all, like I said, really want to know what's going on, and we think through things, have some good, deep questions, and because we want to do better at the work that we do. And so answering those questions and supporting each other, it's part of what we do. That's our theme song there before the show starts there. I think it's on the recording. We are a family. So that's kind of become the theme song here for this last year or so. We used to have Peace Train by Cat Stevens was our theme music for a while, but then Reed said, I want to make a change with that. And I said, that's a great song. I get kind of pumps me up. And if you're at the conference, that was one of the songs that the band played for us was that song by, oh boy, is it Sly and the Family Stone? Boy, I have to look that one up there. But anyhow, so yeah, we're on with you guys again. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving if you celebrate that last week. I missed the call there, but we'll round out the year with a few more calls here before we start the new year. We had a good break. Glad to take that time off. I think it's super important to take some time off, and we have our own self-care programs, right? We all should be doing things for ourselves to walk the walk, so to speak. And I think part of that is some rest, some downtime maybe with family, or just doing like next to nothing, forcing yourself sometimes to do that. It's really important, and you come out better and stronger and give yourself some time to think if you're just kind of like Tess and I were talking before. Today's been a little, for both of us, a little task-to-task day. We haven't had a lot of break in between. So to balance that out, you've got to have some days where you have some breaks and some time to think and some time to reflect and recover from the busyness because, hey, we're busy because people need the help. A lot of people need help. That's why we can graduate 5-6 people a week and still not meet demand for people that need to talk with you and be in connection with you to help them with their health. All right, well, hey, it's December 6th, 2019, so year is starting to come to an end here, but not too late to do all sorts of wonderful things. So I like to sprint to the finish line instead of just kind of coasting. So we're trying to sprint to that finish line before we take a little break off here and then jump into the new year, which is usually a busy time for us and in this field, and hopefully it would be for you people to start to make those changes. Had some new clients come on in December, but a lot of them said, can I just wait till January with everybody else? I said, yeah, maybe making a big change with diet may not be the best thing to do a week or two before Christmas, but some people do, and that's good. That's good too. So, all right. Well, again, welcome to the call, and I'm hosting here, and then I've got Tess as my co-host. I'll say hi to her real quick. Tess, how's it going?
Hi, Brandon. I'm happy to be with you here again this week. Always excited to share with the group. Listening to you share today as we come on the call and talking about self-care, talking about taking some time because we are, you know, going from task to task. It just reminded me of a call that I had yesterday with a new client that I'm working with, and she was explaining to me how this time of year, especially starting around November, really overwhelmed her. And she thought maybe she was suffering from seasonal affective disorder, you know, SAD. A lot of people have heard of that, you know, when we don't have as much sun. But she felt, when I asked her to delve into that a little bit more, she said she just really felt like as soon as her neighbor down the road put up Christmas tree lights or Christmas lights on her house, that began to kind of spark this feeling of overwhelm and just. And as I began to listen to her and I began to think about this and share with her, you know, we are so ingrained with what, especially this time of year, of all the things that we think that we have to do, like everything that's expected of us from in a society, in our neighborhood, in our culture, in our individual activities and groups. We are so overcommitted that we don't even think about the importance of having just a few minutes of quiet, just an hour a week even of doing nothing, let alone a whole day. Because we are so pushed, right, by all the things that we think we're supposed to do. And I think as practitioners, I know as practitioners, that we are trying to do all of those things as well, plus serve our clients. And we have to remember that if we don't make ourselves a priority and we aren't serving ourselves, we can't do all of those things. We can't serve our clients well, and we're not walking the talk. So we need to also stop and reflect on, you know, during this busy season, you know, what really is priority? And what do the holidays really mean to you and to your family? Is it really about all the stuff that you do, or all the decorations or shopping or the busy activities? Or is it the relationships? Is it the time with your family? Is it celebrating that you're healthy and that you can share health with other people? So I think we have to step back and kind of reflect on that. Maybe if we give ourselves permission to not have to do all the stuff and to actually, dial into our priorities, we can actually practice a little dress, right? A little stress reduction. So that's my soapbox for today, because I really realize that every one of us get caught up in that. And as much as I want to share that with my clients and help them to embrace that way of thinking, I have to do the same for myself. One more thing I wanted to tell you, the song is by Sister Sledge.
Okay.
You were close.
All right. There was some S's in there, so thank you. Thank you.
I
think
they're
both from the 70s, right?
So I know.
Yes. Good stuff. Very good.
Anyway.
And good thoughts there, too. That's you're exactly right. And that's just something that I think ebbs and flows and shifts and changes. I don't know that perfect balance is going to be attainable for everyone. So I think I learned to let go of that, where I felt like I had to do every little aspect of that day perfectly, and every category or area needed to be addressed. And just sometimes that doesn't happen. So it's okay to let some of those things go. Sometimes you're going to be a little out of balance in one area or another, but it's not a temporary thing. As long as you're self-aware, you shouldn't be out of balance with work all the time. There's times where, yeah, sometimes you've got to work a little bit more because of something that's going on, but it's not something that you're going to do perpetually. Neglect family or friends or your health or those things. So having some balance there, and sometimes you just have to say no to stuff. I think it's something maybe that comes with age and with wisdom is learning to say no and set more boundaries, because I think we learn maybe our limits, what we can actually accomplish, what we can do, without, instead of just thinking we can do it all and somehow make it all happen, when maybe the best thing to do is prioritize. So here's the most important task. These have the most value of the day or for the year, whatever your goals are. So this is what I've got to do. And sometimes you have to say no to some things that maybe are good things, that maybe on the surface don't look bad, but they could be taking away from actually achieving the big, real, massive goals that you have. So it's something I'm always thinking about, for sure. So
I have a quick little story about letting go and not letting yourself. The fact if you don't do things the way you've always done, or you don't achieve things that you absolutely think you have to do something a certain way. Because this year at Thanksgiving, I had a kind of a change in my routine, and I really had to embrace it or let it destroy my holiday. And we have some things going on. I have some things going on in my family. I have a dog that's not been feeling well, and I've been, my attention has been in some other places. And then we've had several major snowstorms where I live at in the last week, which requires a ton of shoveling when you live on a ranch. And so come time for Thanksgiving dinner, I usually do most of my cooking the day or two before so I can enjoy my company the day of. And I always get my dinner on the table by 1 o'clock because, I have some, my parents, which are older, my dad kind of has a set schedule, and it's always been kind of what we do. Well, this year I woke up to Thursday morning going, I don't even think my turkey's 100% thawed out. I haven't baked any pies. I haven't done any of those traditional preparations that I would always have done to streamline things. And I first began to feel very overwhelmed and kind of like, and you know how you do when you feel overwhelmed, you get kind of shut down and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? I can't do this. It's going to be a horrible day. And I'm like, wait, yeah, just stop the boat, right? No, it doesn't have to be about the way you've always done things. What are you going to do today? That's kind of what I did. I just reframed everything. And I said, you know what? All my family's coming. Everyone's healthy. We're all going to be enjoying our time together. I'm going to focus on that. And I'll get dinner on the table when I get on the table. And it turned out to be a fabulous day. I actually had more people in the kitchen helping me than I ever have before. And it was just, you know, a great time. I got dinner on the table at 4 o'clock. And it was no different than it was if I would have gotten it on at 1 like I traditionally did. So I think it was a good lesson for me, and it's a good lesson for me to share with other people that you just have to, that our mind drives us sometimes down that negative pathway, and we don't have to embrace that. We can stop and reframe those thoughts and turn things around. And however they turn out, you celebrate the good parts of what you've just accomplished, or that, again, time with family, those priorities. So I guess that's our holiday message today. What do you think, Brandon?
Mm-hmm. I resonate that for sure.
Season.
I love that. Yes, 100%. And that's something I think whenever anything I've been through, usually I think most of us, our natural tendency is to go ahead and say, okay, what have I learned from this? How can I help others with that information? So, yeah, I think which what you're saying there, we need to look at ourselves and look what we're doing, and then I'm sure that's in your consciousness in the front of your mind, so you're going to see those things in your clients. Maybe you bring some of those things up to people. That's a regular thing that you do. It just becomes part of a tool that you can pull out, because we're always looking for those stressors, right? So it's mostly, you know, the
yes.
chemical, physical, biochemical stressors we think about mostly, but also there's the mental, emotional realm. So if we can identify some of the mental, emotional stressors, those are big.
As coaches, we need to pull our tools from our own experiences and our own stories. That's actually why people are attracted to us. So, you know, as we're always, as you say, we're focusing on the functional aspect of the chemical and metabolic things and the lab work. And but we focus so much on dress, we have to remember there's more to dress than supplements or diet. It is those stress reduction modalities, and it is our experiences that can often be wonderful tools to share with our clients, because we're not working through our lives perfectly either. We've learned lessons, and we still will be.
Exactly. That's just part of the growth, and that's where it takes some time. You know, you just live life, and you, like I said, growing older has some advantages. You learn a few things, and you have some more experience, and that you can pass along, hopefully, to folks. Yeah, that's good. Good thoughts, Tess. Thanks for sharing those. That's good timing here for this end of the year here. And you're reflecting on, you know, goals for 2020, whatever you're thinking about there.
Yes.
So look back and you say, hey, maybe that this is something that's not maybe serving me any longer, or maybe never did. And you start to hone in and focus on what is the biggest thing I need to accomplish. What are the really big things? And then what are those small steps that are going to get me there? So, yeah, good idea. I do get very I reflect a lot this time of year, so it just maybe comes with the season. Maybe it's just what's in the air right now, but hope you guys are doing that too. All right, well, hey, we got some graduates we want to shift gears here and congratulate, and then we'll jump into some questions. So we've got actually some from last week, so I had a few there on Thanksgiving week. There and then also some from this week as well. So we want to congratulate. So two from last week and then five from this week. So seven total. And these are spread across the globe, which is really fun.
Wow.
It's not just
in
the U.S. again. So, yeah. So from last week, I had Jacqueline Horn, and she's from Alberta, Canada, up north there, where it's cold probably right now, colder than Kentucky. And then I've got Rachel DeHaris, and she's from California, so warmer there. That was last week. And then this week here, I've got James Aberte. He's from Cathedral City, California. And then Shannon Miller, also from California, so California representing here this week. And then Margot Shute, she's from North Carolina, so the other coast. And then back to the West Coast again with Debbie Potts from Washington. You hear her read on her podcast every once in a while there. If you guys look up Debbie, you'll probably recognize that name there. Reed's been on her podcast several times. And then finally, we have from South Africa, Anne Reinierse. I'm trying to get that last name right. Anne, I'm sorry about that if I messed it up there. But Anne's from South Africa. Kind of cool. She just had a reality TV show that she was part of for celebrities, and where she was doing nutrition work with celebrities. And so a little bit of fame has come her way in South Africa, and things are rolling with that. So pretty fun. So FDN's across the globe, and you guys are just all doing amazing things. I enjoy the conversation so much. It's great stuff. So can't wait to see what you do with it, and we're happy to help out and support you in any way. So, guys, congratulations. Great job.
Congrats.
Yeah. Good.
So awesome.
All right.
So exciting.
That is cool. So, yep. Seven more people to help. All right. Okay, so well, I think we weren't here last week, but week before we had all callers. It was just a caller day. So if you guys want to call in and ask a question, I see a lot of you guys are lined up right now on the switchboard. And if you're on the switchboard now and you want to ask a question, just hit 1 on the keypad, and we'll see you, and I'll bring you on for questions. And, you know, depending on the time, you may be able to ask a couple questions to us. But if you want to call in, this number is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378 is that number. You want to hit 1 on your keypad, and we'll see you come on, and we'll be happy to answer your question. If you just want to say hello or happy holidays or whatever, it's fine with us too. So no big deal. All right, so I think we'll start with some of the written in questions right now. I've got a few I've pulled from various places, some emails, some on the Facebook page, and we don't really have a topic per se today, so anything goes. So I think it's potpourri, right? Let's see here. I'm just going to start with one here. Okay, this person says, I'm looking for some FDN resources on heavy metals. Can someone point me to a Friday call or other resources that speak to heavy metals from an FDN perspective? Thanks. I believe we talked about this last week. I don't want to go into it too much too again, but we're talking about detoxification. So when it comes to detox, you know, one of those things that the body needs to get rid of and detoxify are heavy metals, along with a bunch of other stuff. And really, if you think about everything that we're doing with the FDN protocol, detox is in every single aspect of it. Diet to your rest, exercise, reducing stress, the supplementation, the labs that we're looking at, the environmental things that we work on that we're aware of and clean up, you know, like what Laura Adler talks about, all these different things. These are all either trying to reduce the amount of toxins going into your system or to help your body more better to liberate and move those toxins out so they don't cause as much damage to your system, as much strain on your system. So everything you do with FDN really will have some effect on metals, on detoxing heavy metals. Now, heavy metals themselves, though, can be a little more challenging to clear than just maybe just regular metabolites of bodily function or maybe some chemicals that we would ingest, depending on the person. Biochemistry is different. As we know, everybody's biochemically unique, and so it'll go different directions for different people. There's different ways you can deal with the metal side of things, and order of priority is also important too. So I still will start with the basics of FDN first. I do like to run an HTMA as part of my basic intake, so it's kind of like, you know, the six FDN lab. So I get a feel for that. I may address that some, but unless it's really, really a lot of things going on, like with an HTMA, for example, I will tend to go ahead and make sure I'm hitting the fundamentals first, right? So in order to move metals, you have to have a few things in place, and one of those things is just the general vitality and mineral balance and strength to do that, because the body knows that, hey, it can only move certain amounts of metals, certain kinds, without causing damage. There's an intelligence built in with the body with detox. So building up vitality is going to be key, and along with that is opening up detoxification pathways. If the gut is a wreck, if they poop every 4 days, if they don't hydrate well, if they're not moving, if they're not sleeping well, most of the time, all those things, you want to get those things more in place before you get into some more major stuff with metals. Now, sometimes you're going to have somebody that comes to you with major metal low that you can see. Maybe you want to work on those things a little more aggressively in the beginning. So that's a case by case. But generally, I say you want to work on those bigger things first, the big boulders there. Everything is going to work better from that. Then as you put those things in place, then you can go into more metal work. So HTMA is one way that you can look for metal burden on the body. Quicksilver has a couple tests there, a blood metals panel and a mercury tri-test. You can also do some provocation tests where you take some things that push some metals out, and you can get some feel for that. So there's different ways to do it. I think they all have value. They're all good. I like to start out with the HTMA and sort of work from there. And then if I go into deeper things, we can go with that testing. That's the first place to start. And you can run an HTMA through the medical director program. I have a consult with one of us over that to get a start with that. And, of course, Kendra Perry, she's been on before, our former AFTMP director. She's got a live course that she does on a regular basis on HTMA, which is super, super awesome. So that would be a place you can get some additional education and learning from. But a lot of it's just sticking to the fundamentals to start with. But, yeah, let's see. Did I answer that question, all the aspects of it? Maybe so. That's how I think about the aspect.
I think you did it. I think you were pretty thorough. I absolutely agree that you have to focus on the foundation, because if you try to move metals in someone immediately before their vitality is built up, before you are opening up those detox pathways, you can it can really contribute to someone becoming quite sick. It can have some, you know, really detrimental kind of reactions to that, because the body's not ready to handle it. Learning more about metals, how they actually, if you go back to your high school chemistry class and you remember the periodic table, if you learn more about, like, molecularly how metals and minerals fall simultaneously, the same molecular weight and so forth, you'll start to learn a little bit about how the body can be fooled by heavy metals in place of the necessary minerals. And so when you start to think from that mindset, you start to understand that you have to start to rebalance their nutrient sources, their mineral sources first, before you can ask them to let go of those metals, because the body thinks they need it. So, it's not a pleasant process. So, yep, you've got to get those foundations down. The other thing I would say, Brandon, that I think something that I, when I get asked about the HTMA lab, I really do encourage people to, the first few times that they order one of those, to do it through the medical director's program, because the way you look at an HTMA lab can be different based on your knowledge and perspective. So for you and I, we've taken Kendra's master course. We've been working with HTMA for a while. We're thinking about it from a functional mindset. So when we look at that lab, if we see one mineral that's high or low, we don't automatically assume, oh, they have too much or they have too little. We're more looking at the relationships between all the minerals and the metals, and what that's actually telling us, because it might be a completely different story than what it just looks like at face value. So getting that functional, interpretation can make all the difference. And really understanding how looking at that relationship on, say, a HTMA actually can correlate with the other fundamental labs that you're seeing. And so because those balances, they really represent the different body systems that we are working to support. So it's just more information, and rebuilding the body and opening up those detox pathways, like you said, sets the stage for the body to start to do what it's designed to do naturally. And so if you try to force it, you have a lot more problems. But if you get those fundamentals in place, the body will start to do the work. And that's exactly what we want to happen, because it's a much safer process too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good points. And you're right, that's the only way to interpret an HTMA. I think it's where HTMA is either misunderstood, or people badmouth it, or don't think it has much value, because they don't look at it from that perspective. That's not just, oh, something's low or something's high. There's much more to it, much more involved, and that just true of everything that we do. A person can take a 205 or a 401H and treat the test results and not look at the person. So that's always key to look at the big picture there, especially when you have that much information in front of you. So if you have a 205, a 101, an IP, a 401H, metabolic typing, MRT, and HTMA, that's a lot to say. That's a lot of information there. So
how
do you prioritize what comes first, right? What do you do? You've got to have that mindset, and that's what we're training you to think that way in the course. And it takes some time. I'll say that I'll tack onto this too, is that, you know, you can't move out all those heavy metals in 3 months. It's just not going to happen. It takes a lot more time than that. So it's something where I feel like the minerals, the metal, and the detoxification process there is sort of the lifelong thing in a way, but it's something I'd sort of get down to that with my clients. It's almost like I have some HTMA in the beginning, but it's one of those things where once though you, as best you can, restore function in the other areas of the body and have a really good dress protocol going, then you can just continue to have some more aggressive or just basic low level of metal detox, quote, work going on in the body.
Yeah.
You can just do those for years as you cleanse out and you just get better, more and more health. That's what I've got to experience in the last few years working with HTMA and doing those on myself and on my family. There's just been this...
Myself, too.
Oh, well, I didn't know I could feel this good. You know, I didn't know. This is, wow, I haven't... Well, that was kind of an annoying thing I had that's been... I didn't really... You know, it wasn't really slowing me down that much, but now that's been gone for months. Wow, how did that happen? It's probably this continual work that we get to do on the metal side.
You know, you said something that I think that is really important to kind of... focus on for a second, and that's, you know, you have all of these labs in front of you and they're screaming at you with all this information, and then so what do you do with that? What is the priority? I think that comes back to the foundation of correlations and your client's information they've provided you, those complaints, that metabolic chaos scorecard and so forth. It comes back to looking at all of that information and saying to yourself, how does this correlate with how my client's feeling, and how can I plug that in to those physiological aspects of metabolic chaos? So those individual systems that are all connected through the brain and body that create metabolic chaos, because once we can kind of plug in where all this information is going, then we can start to see that sort of big picture, and we get back to a very simplified vision of supporting the whole body, non-specifically through dress. And it just all comes together in flows. But if we take each one of these labs and we try to pick it apart all by itself, and we set all this information aside instead of seeing how it all correlates within those systems, then we can get very confused and we find ourselves out there doing this modality and that therapy and this modality instead of a cohesive whole body dress protocol.
Mm. True words. Exactly. That's the switch and the change that's going to happen if you don't already think that way. That's what you're going to learn in the course. That is the big takeaway, just what we're saying there. It's a neat process. It's an art form. To me, it's some science with that. It's a neat process. I've gone through it multiple times this week with my clients, putting together R&Rs and putting things together. It's fun. And then once you've had all these neat epiphanies and cool things that you figure out by doing that process, and you get to present that, have that awesome session, and take it from there. So
super exciting.
Yeah, it is cool. I don't really get tired of that. I don't see it as work at all. It's just fun.
Agreed.
So mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Good points. All right. Well, hey, we've got a caller here, so I'm going to pick up 303 area code. 303. What's your name?
It's Chris Wilson from Fort Worth.
Chris Wilson, what's going on, sir? How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm sitting at Whole Foods having a salad right now, so I hope you're not getting a lot of background music playing.
No, I think you're good. Yeah, I think you're on my schedule here coming up pretty soon, aren't you, for a verbal final?
Yeah, I finally scheduled that one in without having to get a cancellation email back. So I appreciate that.
You're ready to rock and roll, so I'm glad to get to do the last step here with you. So I feel like I know you already. You've been on the Friday call enough. We talked enough, so that's great.
Yeah, thank you. I've just been a little bit overzealous on trying to get those that verbal final scheduled in. So I didn't understand that I had to wait on receiving the files for the grading of my final exam. They send you your final files, and I wasn't aware. That's why. So I was trying to just get in one of the earlier days that plugged in for December. And either way, it worked out. So thankfully that I was able to
Christmas time. Yeah, that's fine. I was actually made a note for myself this morning to make sure that we put some more verbiage in various places like that. But yeah, verbal final scheduling. You'll need to get your written finals for everybody else. Make sure you get your written final back. It'll be graded for you and back, along with the files for the verbal final. Those all come together. So we ask you not to book for the verbal final until you get that email back from Lauren. That's the thing. So I'm assuming everybody's going to pass the written final, but it doesn't always happen. And then also things come in the way, and, oh, shoot, I didn't get the written final completed, and I'm now a week behind, and that spot right there, that two-hour slot, could really need to be used for somebody else. And so that's why I'm trying to click on that. So if somebody's already got their graded final back and somebody else books in that hasn't gotten to that point yet, and they're sort of taking that person's spot in a way because there's – it's limited. I'm opening up a little more time here this month trying to get everybody in that wants to get in to finish up this year. But if it goes on next year, that's fine, too. There's still work to be done. But okay, a little public service announcement there. So, Chris, what have you got for us today?
Well, forgive me ahead of time for booking those earlier positions.
Oh,
but,
man, you're fine. It's good.
Thanks, man. Going back to the heavy metal chelation and detoxification, you can go to the AFDMP if any of the trainees in here are a part of that. And look at the Wendy Myers Pro Series, a lot of the Kendra Perry Pro Series, and there's even some of the in the archives of the Friday calls with Wendy Myers where they talk about heavy metal detox and such and prioritization of what process to go through first. And I know just from experience with my wife and detoxing her with heavy metals, I've ran a couple of provocation tests pre and post with her from Doctor's Data. And I've still continually been chelating with on and off cycles and doing detoxification since February of this year. And every time I run these Dr. Data tests, it just metals keep coming out. So it's just one of those things you got to take low and slow. And, you know, we're in an environment or a society or a culture today where we're always exposed to things. So detox is almost now so much as a part of a lifestyle. It's not a 1 week or a 3 month ordeal. It's almost, you have to incorporate it with your daily behaviors. But my question was just basically on, I've been watching some of the practitioner stuff from biobotanical research when you become part of their, I'm not really sure what you call it for the terminology's sake, but whenever you become a part of their team through FDN and, so I was wanting to know your and Tessa's experience with biobotanical research products in terms of breaking down the biofilms and just really getting people better, because this is one thing that I've understood with heavy metal detox is a lot of times candida is really hard to kick until you clear out a good majority of the metals, because it kind of flares up as a protective barrier in the body from the heavy metals. And so until you can detox those down enough and move them out of the body, then you can start working on these biofilms or these overgrowths, at least in my case, from my experience. And that might be bio-individual or from person to person. But I just wanted to know what your guys' experience was with using some of these products with the liposomal formula, the liquids and the capsules, the drops, the ProFlora that they have, which is kind of very similar to Microbiome Labs Sporebiotic from what I hear from watching their videos. But if you guys have any experience with Biocidin and your protocols, that'd be great. I'm all ears.
Hmm. Good big question. Tess, you want to go first?
Okay, Chris, I think that's a really good question because, you know, as a trainee getting ready to graduate, getting ready to get out there and working with people, you want to think about, like, what are the viable products that I maybe want to think about working with first? My first thing I would say to you is that Biobotanical Research has some excellent products. They definitely put the research behind it. They do offer the practitioner education through their practitioner partnership, as you were talking about, that you have established or with them. And so that's all really helpful. As far as supplements in general, I think that as you go through this process as a practitioner, you start to sort of develop your sort of toolbox of what has worked for you. Now, for me, I'm also a holistic health practitioner and herbalist. Worked in the holistic and plant-based space for many years. So I have learned the importance of energetics in individual people, and I understand that when we start to talk about botanicals, everybody's energetics are different. And so I'm talking about, is the body dry? Is it damp? Is it cold? Is it hot? And some herbs work in with certain energetics and some don't. So as you start to work with clients and you say, okay, these products worked for me this time or for this client, but it's really strange. This client isn't tolerating them, or it's not working for them for the same thing. You have to remember the human body's not static. We're not, you know, every one of us are different. Our energetic makeup is a little bit different. And the state the body's in is different. And so it may not always be that biobotanical is the only products that you ever work with. So for that, I would say, yes, they are wonderful products. I do use them. I don't use them with every single client, though. There are other products that I work with, too, that I have worked with for years that work well. And I'm open to, you know, some of the newer things coming on the market, the science, but I'm always vetting those out. I want to make sure that there's quality. I want to make sure that there's science behind it. I want to hear, you know, the trials or what other people's experiences are. Most importantly, I usually will try them out on myself first. I don't want my clients to be a guinea pig. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I have used all of, not every biobotanical product, but most of them on myself too. And so I think they're great products. So I don't know if that answers your question, but probably even giving you a bigger perspective on just that one box of product.
No, that's really great detailed information. More specifically, my question was addressed on maybe using these products, like the biocidin and stuff, and just in terms of knocking down biofilms and maybe other co-infections that come with, like Lyme, like the Bartonella, the Babesia. Is there any success
like
to these? I know we don't treat anything specifically.
I think that's a good question, and I think Lyme is one of those kind of situations. You know, we're not specifically, like you said, treating Lyme. So that means we have to go back to the drawing board and understand that, why is our client someone who maybe we know someone who had Lyme and they didn't have any complications with dealing with it, and yet we now have a client that seems like no matter what we try to help them do, they are struggling to overcome Lyme's, or Lyme is actually developing into, you know, third and fourth stage Lyme, where there's a lot more physical damage happening to the body. That brings us back to that individual client's terrain, right? And answering those questions of, like, what are the underlying things that all still need to be addressed, and how that whole picture is going to help them deal with Lyme. So it comes back to not being about one product being the miracle product. It comes back to supporting the whole things, and is this product working for this client? So in that regards, the liposomal for Lyme's, or that is often used for Lyme's, the liposomal biocidin, has been shown to have a lot of promise, but there's no guarantee it's going to work for every client.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I got you on mute because of the background noise. I want to add something to this. This is right where I was thinking of going, Tess, when you said just asking about a certain product. Me, I use tons of the Biocide and other products. I like a lot of what they've got. But you're right, not for every single person. I kind of have my favorites. The thing is, you've got to assess the best that you can. Try something. You know, sequence and titrate. Try something. See where things go. You know, with the information that we have, our experience, as detailed as we are, we're going to hit the bullseye most of the time. But there'll be times where, yeah, like you said, biochemistry is different. other things that you didn't know about, you figure out. So that's when you do a little course correction, a little bit of adjustment there. So that's the overarching thing for sure. But are their products good? I think they're great. Personally, ProFlora, I think for my clients, people I've worked with, I've had better results with it versus the Megaspore product, just personally.
Oh, me too.
The Megaspore is bad, just personally. So I know it's a little bit different. There's a few other ingredients that are in there. I think it works good, one of my favorites to use there. But it's sort of like, yeah, like I said, Tess, it's like whatever tool you need for that moment, you pull that out and you try that. And I think just certain products will speak to you. With that person, like, is this the right thing to go with? And usually it sort of comes together in this nice little puzzle and good to go. So, but I don't know, Tess, do you know of a test for biofilm? I don't know that I know of a test that you like can measure the amount of biofilm. Maybe it's just clues that we're gathering. So I don't know how to evaluate that other than like just looking at overall progress of a person, how they're feeling.
I don't know of a test of either. And when you think of biofilm, we can't put biofilm into just an interpretation box of, we're going to address all the biofilm in the body, because one of the things we need to realize is that healthy bacteria also has biofilm, mm-hmm. and we can become extremely aggressive and break down good biofilm as well. We don't want to do that. When it comes to addressing, imbalances and infections in our body, we have to remember one, I think, fundamental thing. So we can get really caught up in that functional approach of just, we need to clean everything up and get rid of everything. But we have to realize that if we help the body and that terrain come back to a state of vitality where it can do what it was designed to do, it's going to start to do some of the work and find the balance. And if we just go at it at this sort of blitzkrieg kind of thing, we're just going to go wipe it all out, we could be causing more problems than we're solving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you kind of go at it thinking, I got to break down all the biofilm, I have to, I think we have to go back to that kind of thinking that we just had, where we work through the processes we know, support the body in the way that we know how to do it, we keep reevaluating, reassessing, and we keep course correcting. And that in itself is allowing things to unfold in a progression that they should. I think we can get to, when we think about that, as FDNs, we're doing functional work, but we are also doing holistic work. And that holistic work is respecting the body's processes itself and not us just coming in, and commanding everything. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
You are to me. Chris, I'll bring you back on here.
Yeah, no, it sounds
all right,
great.
Got you now, Chris.
I answered my questions. The one thing that really piqued my interest now was whenever, Tess, you had mentioned about a person's energetics. How do you go about determining if a person's hot, cold, warm, moist, dry?
So energetics really is taught from the herbal plant-based way of thinking, traditional herbalism. And you think about, for instance, when somebody's constipated, that their bowels are dry. When they have diarrhea, their bowels are wet. Does that make sense? So if you're looking for an herb to help with, or, an herb or plant-based kind of thinking to think, how are you going to help their bowels regulate? Of course, we know there's a lot of other factors that go into that, like infections, food sensitivities, all of those things. So don't get me wrong, those things all play a part. But we're going to think about what is a demulcent, so what is soothing, and mucilage, what is going to give moisture if we have a dry bowel. If we have a wet bowel, what's going to dry things up? Maybe a clay or a charcoal. Do you see that kind of mindset? But the best way for you to learn, Chris, is to check into our – now, this is not a public service announcement or a push for the courses, but I want you to know that Lori Rose Valentine, which is an – she's an amazing herbalist. She has done a course for us, which is advanced herbal science, and you will learn about the energetics in her course. And we just launched that this last month in our advanced courses, and that will be part of the FDN3 curriculum. So if you want to know more about how to really think that way, that's where you need to go.
Okay, and I did watch the Pro Series with her on, her and Reed, where they're talking about her advanced course of the herbalism. And I'm signed up with Herbal Legacy with Dr. Christopher, I can't think of his last name, and he offers a lot of master herbalist courses. And I'm very interested in that.
It really just depends on Chris, on what you want to do with that. Do you need that information as just another tool, some more learning information to understand foundations of health and natural and holistic approaches? Or are you really looking to take that into like a master program where you want all those certifications? I think that's what you have to decide. And there isn't a one-size-fits-all. I think in my journey, and I think Brandon could probably relate to this too, over the years, I've been in natural health for near 20 years or more. And over those years, my interests have changed. My need to know for different things have changed. And so I'm taking and learning at that point in time what I want to know, what I need to know, what direction I want to go. And that could be different for you and your journey. So, and even as it comes to like, how we teach in FDN, is that the fit you're looking for right now? So when it comes to, I see that question a lot in some of the support boards on social media, is like, what herbal course should I take? And then people start saying, well, I took this school and it's the best, and I went to this person and it's the best. I think that it's just like attracting your ideal client to you. What person is attracted to work with you that you're going to have a relationship with that person's going to learn best from you? It's the same with programs like that. You have to find what really resonates with you and what's giving you the information that you're looking for at this time. But it may not be the only one that you do. There's, you're going to move through your journey as you need to do it. And I can see that you're a big consumer of all this wonderful information. I love how enthusiastic you are. And I can tell you from experience and from being a mentor for a while, working with other students and their experiences, you can get on course overload. You can get on information overload. You can actually burn yourself out to where you just kind of can't even move forward and work with clients. So, just gauge where you need to be at this point and know that you've got your whole life ahead of you to keep learning and keep adding all those things. And so, just kind of like throttle that to a point that it's working for you, but it's not going to overwhelm you.
Mm-hmm. Good advice, Tess. That's very good. All right, Chris, I'm going to put you on hold a second here, and I'm going to grab 215 area code, see what they have going on. If we have more time, Chris, we'll come back. That's okay. All right, 215 area code. What's your name there, 215?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Evan Transu out in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Evan.
Hey, Evan, good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm in for I think I do this once every 5 to 6 months. I just call in with two or three random comments or questions, and I'm sure if I went in my phone log, it seems to be exactly that. So I'm here for that today.
Okay.
I would just love to say, it's more of a compliment than anything. I love the fact that we have the FDN level 2 and 3 coming out. I think in the online course world, or even like complete online education world, when you see other institutes and things like that, it's kind of a one-hit wonder for a lot of the things, but all these different programs that we have are just so valuable in their own way. So I think that says a lot about what you guys are doing and just the leadership in general in FDN. So I think I kind of speak for everyone when I say thanks for that. It's really interesting to me how I found this through a total synchronicity, totally random, and I mean FDN that is, and it's just like the perfect program for me, and it's always like I can dig a little deeper if I need to do so. So just a compliment there. I just wanted to thank you guys. Then my first question is, I had heard, and I buff out, I usually am rarely on live unless I'm asking a question. I normally buff out the Fantastic Friday calls two or three at a time in kind of these bursts. And I had heard Brendan say something about an apprenticeship program or whatever, and I know that you guys had done something with Jen before, but I believe what I had heard was him referring to something different coming out in the early time of like 2020. And I was just wondering, is there any more information on that or what exactly that's going to entail? Because for someone like me who obviously, for many that don't know, this is not my main career. I got into the FDN stuff for my own health issues, but it is something that keeps kind of coming back into my life, and I'm not going to lie. Like, I'll do a few clients here and there, and then I kind of fall off with it again because I'm not really relying on it for money. But I always feel like I'm missing a few things on kind of the coaching side and how to structure this type of business. So I was just wondering if you had any more information on that now that you're allowed to share.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on with FDN. There's less going on years ago. I was more in the know. But on this thing, I don't know too much about it. I know that we've talked about some different things. I know other practitioners that do have internships or apprenticeship programs that are out there. I've talked with some of those. So some of the more seasoned FDNs just hire on some other FDN graduates there and teach them and train them, and they work with some clients and they spend some time, and then they move on and do their own things. So it's a good jumping off point there if that's what you need to do. Internally with FDN, AFDNP, I know there's talk about that. I don't know the details yet. It's something for sure we'll definitely let you know about when we do. I just don't have anything to tell you. Wish I did. Tess, do you know anything more?
I don't. I did see the same question asked in the Facebook groups recently, so it's obviously been mentioned, but it must not be in the it's not been, any information's not been released yet that I think anything's cohesive. So I do know, like you said, Brandon, that, I mean, FDN itself as a team, as an entity, as a company is really working hard to be progressive. So thank you very much, Evan, for your comments about FDN 2 and 3, because you're right. We know that there is more to what we do than a one-stop shop, that science and experience and even tapping into past information and ancient wisdom is all an important part of always progressing for ourselves and for our clients. So I think we're working hard as a company to continue to offer that to all of our alumni as well, so they continue to grow both personally and professionally. And so I'm sure as far as the apprenticeship goes, if indeed it is something that will be released this next year, it's, again, part of that process of us just working to develop these progressive opportunities for our alumni. So I wish I had more information for you, too. I don't. If you heard Brendan say it, you might, as you go back and see in one of the Friday calls, if that's where you mentioned it, but I've not seen anything solid come out about it yet.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get ask Brendan next time he's on, or Brandy or Reed. Good thought. So, yeah, that's cool. So, sorry, can't help you much on that one.
Would definitely tell us if it was out, but hey, I had to ask. And then last question, I'll actually take. You guys go.
I was going to say, if it were out yet, we would have had an announcement either on the website or through our newsletters and so forth. So I don't think there's anything solid out yet with it.
Okay, sure. No problem at all. And then my second kind of quick question here, and I actually think that you guys answered this in the beginning, but I'm kind of at work myself right now, so that's usually why I'm not on live. So I'm actually going to take this one off the air. But what I was going to ask is, for someone who has done dress for a very long time and quite well, I don't want to say strict, but just very good at staying kind of to that. And I am talking about myself. It's been about 2.5 years since I was introduced to it. And I've shared before, I've had, phenomenal results with dress. And this is as someone who was already coming into the course, eating organic whole foods, things like that. It wasn't like this was the first time I had ever heard about natural healing. Again, I think you guys were almost talking about this in the beginning, coincidentally, but I didn't hear the full thing. I was wondering, what were those extra tests that you would go to? Because I really wanted to make sure it is ingrained in us to not get too fancy with the testing and all this extra stuff until we actually do the real work and the dress and things like that. But I even recall back in the day, I heard Reed say in the course, what we do will work very well, if not completely well, for about 80% of people. And then that other 20% might have these things where we might need a little more investigative work. And you know what? I look at it sometimes, and I am someone who was dealing with chronic health issues for, 14 years, even as young as I am, before I ever found FDN. So maybe I am just someone who would benefit from things like that, because I do feel like there's a little less or last 10 to 15% of healing that I could benefit from. So thank you guys in advance. And again, I'll just take that off the air so I'm not causing any background noise.
Awesome. Evan, and just to clarify real quick, Evan, if you're there. So just beyond the basic labs, you mean what further testing would you do for somebody?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I meant was, yeah, like we do those five basic labs. I have done all those minus the IP test, and the only reason I never ended up doing that was because I was quite convinced that my gut is probably not in optimal shape, considering I was on, you know, over 20 courses of antibiotics in my life before the age of 18. So,
yeah,
not that I don't
remember
doing all the labs, but a little common sense sometimes,
yeah.
I think. It,
gotcha.
You know,
no, that's good. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. All right. I'll take you off there, and I'll just mute you, and then we'll talk about this. So great. Yeah, Evan, thanks for calling in, too, man. Good to hear from you. He's one of our youngest graduates, so right up there, there's some in the 18 to 21 range. There's been a handful of graduates in that age, and so he's starting his career off very early. So good questions there. I'll chime in on that. I keep putting out the statistic: 80-85% of people. It's the five basic labs ran once, twice. Work through a protocol, people are going to get where they need to get to. I don't know if I got that from Reed. I feel like that's my statistics. I would say personally with who I work with, that pretty much the tools I start with takes care of most folks. If I'm going to go beyond that, I can't seem to move the needle with that, with those basic labs. I would say HTMA, an OAT, those are probably the next places I would look and get into lab-wise, maybe deeper into food sensitivities with maybe a Zoomer test of something like that, see if there's something you're missing on the food side of things. Those would be mine. And then other than that, I'm going to look more into mental, emotional, or environmental areas. I'm going to hit those areas, existential things, purpose in life, you know, just working through some emotional healing that may need to occur, take place. I'm not an expert in that. Maybe I can get the ball rolling there, and then just trying to address environmental things, even where they live on the planet and all those things, EMFs and things of that nature. Those are sort of within dress, but you can get more specific with some testing on some of those and even refer out to somebody on some things like that. I have no problem referring out one of my clients to somebody else to work with them while they're working with me, or just say, hey, I think maybe this is where you need to go right now. Maybe we could come back together later on, but you need to go see, you know, Sarah and work on this mental emotional things right now. I think it's probably one of the big holdups here. So I guess testing wise, yeah, I guess HTMA, sort of the metal detox, OAT side of things, I guess would be the main places I would probably look next. I don't know. That's my next steps. Tess, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you. I definitely would go HTMA. There can often be a lot of hidden issues going on with mineral imbalances and even sequestering heavy metals and things that, you know, in the beginning, so you missed this part, Evan, I'd really recommend you go back and listen to the beginning of the session today, but talking about how the body can't let go of those things until it does start to heal, until we start to get those balances correct. The OAT, and I know Brendan would be right on that with us, you know, and especially we start thinking about things like neurotransmitters and even like, we start to think about some professionals we've had on that talk about neurotransmitters. Most of those labs don't even want us to address neurotransmitters till we've worked on the gut and we've worked on infections and so forth, things like that. So the OAT could be good. Food sensitivities, definitely there can be some room to go. There's a lot of controversy on which food sensitivity tests are the best. So, you know, we do have some of the best in the medical director's program, a list, the Zoomers, the array, the Cyrus arrays. So those could be another direction. Maybe, you know, some practitioners really like to get into some of the blood labs, looking at those a little bit functionally, seeing if there's, you know, something they missed there. Even like if you're suspecting some really serious metals, you could do one of the urine metal tests that shows up a little bit different than the HTMA. I mean, those are on the list. I think it's important, too, to do the retesting from your original fundamental labs if you haven't done that, to kind of see what exactly, what direction have you gone, what work is kind of still showing up that needs to be done, because that might really guide your direction, too. And I'm right there with you, Brandon, about the emotional aspect, because people can't heal if there are blocks. Those emotional blocks will stop healing every time. So it is that holistic and whole body work that we need to be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Just keep going, keep looking, keep digging, keep discovering. Just keep going. That's maybe the moral
yep.
and the way of life there. Moving forward, and you got our support and ways you can help look deeper, and we'll help you support your clients the best that we can, and it's the only way to do it. You know, when it comes down to that's one of my clients. I want my clients to feel this is the only way to do things, the true way to achieve health. So, all right.
What
well,
an action-packed call.
Oh yeah, very good. Good callers too, Chris and Evan. Thanks, guys. Some of our young guys there jumping in with good questions and a few written-in calls there and. Say congratulations to our 7 graduates. Guys, great job. And Tess, of course, thanks for being on with me again, adding your experience there. And I love when you start talking about herbalism. I get to learn so much from you. So thanks for being on with me today.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure. And as you know, I love mentoring and sharing and bringing forth good quality professionals that are going to continue to change the world. So I really enjoy being a part of this. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right, you guys have a great weekend, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.